What I want to talk about is the power of the Word of God. The power of the Word of God. The Apostle Paul, in the book of Romans, the first chapter, tells us in verse 16, and this is my text tonight, where he said, "For I am not ashamed." Not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. See that? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why, Paul? Because he said it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Nobody is left out of that. That everyone there is all inclusive. And God gives every individual an opportunity to be saved and to go to heaven when they die. As Christians, as believers in Christ, we are God's children. John writes, "Beloved, now are we the children of God, sons of God. And as sons of God, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. By virtue of the new birth, we are saved by his grace, and we have become members of his family, citizens of his heavenly kingdom." Our citizenship is not here on the earth. We are citizens of God's kingdom. And by our faith in Christ, a very close and personal relationship has been established between us and God. The Bible tells us that he is in us, and we are in him. And I cannot think of a closer relationship than that. And we have God's holy word, the Bible, to lead us and to guide us in our daily life. To properly understand and interpret and apply this word, God has given us spiritual discernment through the indwelling Holy Spirit that lives within us. I like that. So the Bible becomes our anchor to establish us. It becomes our compass to direct our course. And it becomes our guide to give us peace and comfort as we battle the storms of life. Now, there will be times in our lives, and I speak personally, when we may become depressed and maybe even begin to doubt our relationship with the Father. Those times come to some. And this doubt rises up as a dark and ugly specter. It gets into our mind, and we begin to wonder, is God really with me? Has he and can he forgive sins, all sins? You may not understand some of the circumstances that come into your life, and you may begin to question and distrust even the path that God is trying to lead us on. We may begin to wonder if we can survive some of the trials and tribulations that come across our path. We may experience weak and faint spells when our spiritual energy level is hovering around zero and everything seems blah to us. There are times when we may feel like throwing in the towel and giving up. We just want to throw up our hands in frustration and say, I quit. Lord, take me home. I'm tired. But then his word, we're talking about the power of the word of God. His word comes to us, as in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56, with this assurance. Listen, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promises. Not one word has ever failed. Now that's confidence. You see, God has a good track record, doesn't he? He has never broken a promise. He always keeps his word. There may be days come into our lives when we are full of stress, anxiety, that causes us to become extremely exhausted. We get tired. We've depleted, we've used up all of our spiritual strength. And we think, God, I barely have enough energy to get up and get going. I need help. And then God brings a verse of scripture to our mind, something like Isaiah 41:10. And God speaks to our hearts and says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. How do you like that? He is God who can do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And he will strengthen us. He will help us. And he will hold us up with the right hand of his righteousness. That's wonderful. The power of the word. We claim that promise of God, and somehow all that weariness just seems to melt away. And we can feel that power of God energizing our souls just as he said it would. There's a promise made over in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. It says, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. You name me one place where God will not go with you. He is with us always. He will never leave us nor forsake us. See, we've got the power of the word of God. He tells us that there will be times when we may not understand, and we will cry out for wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And he gives us Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, when he says, "Thou shalt then understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." Now there's a compass that will help you whenever you have a decision to make. He appoints you in the right direction. Some people will say, "But what about me? Will God give me assurance out of his word? How will I know if I meant to claim a promise? How do I know when the Lord is speaking to me through a particular verse of scripture?" Well, I admit it can be confusing, especially when the promise that you want to claim in its context was given to someone else or to other people in particular situations. And you ask, "Lord, does this apply to me? Can I personally claim this promise, even though it was made to Solomon or Samson or Samuel or Israel or somebody like that?" Let me give you some guidelines that I think will help you whenever it comes to a situation like that. You know that you can claim a promise of God when you have in your life's circumstances a personal need that God in his word has promised to fulfill. You have his word for it. Know this: the Bible repeatedly asserts that God has a particular plan for your life and for mine. There's nothing that happens to us that surprises God, because he knows all things. It may surprise us, but not him. And so we can be confident in claiming the promise of God. One kind of like Psalm 32 and verse 8, in which God says, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." Isn't that wonderful? God will instruct us. He will teach us. He will guide us. That's what God makes available to us. So we pray and we say, "Lord, instruct me, teach me, educate me, and show me which way to go." Lord, I'm like a car out here. I have to have somebody in there to mash the gas pedal. And I have to have somebody that will do the steering. And Lord, I want you to be in the driver's seat in my life. And I want you to steer me in the way that you want me to go. Then also, whenever you see a promise of God in the Bible, read the context. Read the verse before it and the verse after it, and then read the verse that has the promise in it that you want to claim, and see if there's any conditions attached to it. Sometimes there is. There's a good promise over in Psalm 37 and verse 4. Promise of God. Listen to this promise. "He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Doesn't that sound good? He'll give you the desires of your heart. A wonderful promise. But don't lift it out of context. In the framework of that promise that God makes to give us the desires of our heart, there is a qualifying stipulation or condition attached to it. And here it is. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thy heart. Now, can you see in there any place that you can get the desires of your heart without delighting yourself in the Lord? You see, that's the condition that God attached to that promise there. And I don't think you can get the desires of your heart unless you delight yourself in the Lord. Got to keep the Word of God in context. I can remember, and this amazed me, years ago, I was just getting started out in the ministry, and some wise preacher or teacher, I can't remember now who it was teaching us about this subject, and he says, you know, boys and girls, the Bible says that Judas went out and hanged himself. Well, we already knew that. And then he quoted another verse there that says, go thou and do likewise. And that blowed our minds, see. But that does not mean that because Judas went out and hanged himself that you and I are to go out and hang ourselves, does it? No. You're taking it out of context. Go thou and do likewise does not apply to that verse that says that Judas went out and hanged himself. Then ask yourself, if God answers my prayer and grants this promise, fulfills it, will it honor and glorify him? And will it be compatible with his will for my life? I don't want to ask God for something that would put me out of his will. I don't want to ask God for something that will not bring honor and glory to him if it's fulfilled. I believe that God wants to grant the yearnings of our innermost being. But if we ask God for something that is expressly forbidden in the scriptures, something that is contrary to his will, what if by granting what we ask would bring pain and sorrow and suffering and harm to others? We wouldn't want to do that. Or if we're asking God for something that would get in the way of God's overall plan and purpose for our lives, we wouldn't want that. Wouldn't be worth it. Wouldn't be worth it. God wants the best, the very best, for his people, for his children. And I don't think that he's going to allow anything to undermine his plans for us. If we're submissive to him and we've yielded our lives to him and ask him to lead us and to guide us, to instruct us, then we don't want to ask God for anything that would change his plans for us. So we examine our hearts and make sure that our first priority is to glorify him. There was a time in Israel's experience. Now the Bible says that God gave them what they asked for, but he sent leanness to their soul. That's over in Psalm 106, verse 15. We want something so bad, we just beg God for it, and then he gives it to us, and the first thing you know, our soul becomes lean, and we really don't like that. Jesus Christ was God the Son, as well as the Son of God. And I remember that after that Passover meal that he had with his disciples in the upper room, they sang a hymn and went out. And he went with his disciples down to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he took the bulk of his apostles and left them down here, and he said, "Fellas, you stay here and you watch and you pray." Took Peter, James, and John over here a little bit further down the path into the amongst the old olive trees there in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said, "You fellas stay here and watch and pray." And then Jesus went a little further out of their sight down here, and he began to pray because he knew that before the night was over, he would be betrayed and tried and sentenced to death. He knew that. And he prayed and he said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." You can imagine, he was facing the agony of crucifixion. And he didn't want to do it. There was a part of him, the human part of him, did not want to go through all of that pain and suffering and agony, the rejection. But he had a nevertheless in his request. "Not my will, but thine be done." When you and I can reach that Gethsemane stage in our Christian experience, I think that our lives will be transformed too. "Not my will, but thine be done." Another thing, make sure that you're walking uprightly and in obedience to his will. If you are in his will, you will be in a perfect position to receive the promise. Jesus said in Psalm 84, verse 11, listen to this, "No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And in Psalm 34 and verse 10, he says, "They that seek the Lord shall not want or lack any good thing." Talking about good things here, not bad things. Now the Lord may direct us in ways that we don't understand, but he does it in order to bless us. We may not understand when distress, calamity, sorrow, sickness, and infirmity come. We may be feeling perfectly healthy. We go in to see the doctor, and the doctor puts his stethoscope up here and he listens to you and puts it on your back and makes you cough and talks to you, takes your blood pressure and all of these things. And then he kind of unhooks himself and turns his back to you and kind of shakes his head, says, "I got some bad news for you." Yeah, got some bad news for you. We don't understand it. But when it comes, submit to it and let God use it for our good and for his glory. It's all you can do. You can't beat it yourself. You need him. You need his help. And if this is his will for you or for me, we accept it. We may be like Jesus in Gethsemane, but we accept it. I think about a time when David prayed. It's recorded in Psalm 23. And David said, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Those four words make a difference. Thou art with me. I'm walking in the valley of the shadow of death, but I have someone with me that's going to hold me up and support me and give me strength for his honor and glory. You know that God will grant his promise to you because the Holy Spirit will confirm it by giving you peace and assurance. I think of what Paul said. It's over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Speaking of us Christians, he says, "We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God." Why? He says that we may know, K-N-O-W, that we may know the things that are freely given to us by God. God has access to our minds. He can bring to our minds a particular verse or passage of scripture that will support us and give us peace and courage and comfort and confidence in Christ. So, as we read our Bibles, I'm still talking about the power of the Word of God. When we read our Bibles, we listen for that still, small voice that speaks to our soul and says, "This is the way. Walk ye in it." He gives direction to us. When you have doubts about the path that you're on, when you wonder if God can overcome the trials that you're facing, when you need assurance, read the Word of God. Pay close attention to the context and set your heart to honor God, to walk in His will, and follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit that is within you. And God will give you promises that will heal your emotional wounds. He will give you strength that will sustain you through the most difficult circumstances, and He will give you instructions that will teach you who you are, because you are His. You belong to Him, life, sock and barrel. He bought you with His own blood that was shed on Calvary. You're His child. You are a very beloved member of His family, and He wants the best for you. And He is God, and He is able to do it. He will not allow anything that will disturb and break the relationship that He has with us. I think of what Paul said in the form of a question in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. He asked the question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? And then he goes ahead and answers his own question and says emphatically, no! In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The power of the Word of God. You've got your Bible. That's all you need. Let's stand together, please. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Appreciate your being here tonight. Such a joy to fellowship together around the Word of God. Brother Bud, will you lead us, please, in our benediction tonight? Close our service.
Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for thy love, what you've done for us. Pray, Father, that you will bless us throughout this day, remaining this day and this night. To be thy will, give us another day tomorrow.
Amen.
May we love thee all the days of our life. We thank you, Father. We love you very, very much. Bless each one who's present tonight. We ask in Christ's name for his sake. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.